You and I have been called by God to be here. The reason I know that, you're here, you're breathing. You're here on earth. God placed you here, and He placed us here for a purpose. There is a reason for your existence. There is a purpose for my existence, your existence. And God is the reasoning behind us. Sometimes we, from a human condition, have a hard time reasoning. All the time, each of us, from a human condition, have a hard time listening. And in that hard time with listening, if we don't listen, we have to feel. And when we start feeling the pain of life, so often we will get angry at the Creator of life because we feel pain. You and I, as Christians, are called and we're sent by God, and He says, I'm giving you your own private, personal identity. No one else like you on planet Earth. No one else has ever been born that was like you. No one will ever be born that is like you. You are unique in the mind of God and in the makeup of who you are. Now, each of us as Christians, when we're focusing on our identity, too often we make a horrible mistake. And that mistake is this. We see our identity as what we think about. We identify ourselves with what's going on in this mind or in the brain so often. And that's why we get angry at ourselves. Because a lot of times what goes on up here is not good. And we think, if that's all there is to my life, what hope would I have? If what I can think of is all that matters, is the full purpose of living, then woe is me. Because of all people, we are most miserable. So God says, I've given you your personal, private identity. And you and I have dealt with identity theft long before we heard about it on television. Satan is the great thief that wants to steal the identity of the Christian. If Satan can get a hold of who you are, you remember again, this is my body. My body can move independently from the spiritual realm of God. But I was given life by God, and God said, here's your choice. You can choose me, or you can choose the world. You have a choice. When I said yes to Jesus Christ, then this human physical body was connected to the spiritual Christ that I've accepted, and I become that link for Christ in His chain called the church. The missing link we see on the History Channel. And the missing link that Darwin's folks decided to try to find. What about Christians and us becoming the missing link of God's church? God's body. Satan, the great deceiver and thief, he steals, he kills, always looking into the heart and wants to destroy your relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, here's his problem. When you said yes to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, that can never, ever be taken away from you. The scripture says you are sealed by the Holy Spirit. You have been guaranteed an inheritance that God has given you. That's not our problem. Satan is not going to mess with your new nature. He cannot deal with your new nature. Satan messes with the old me, the old you. Both of us are still in here, right? The new me and the old me. And for those individuals who will stand and say, no, the scripture of I'm a new creation, all things have passed and here I am standing anew. Yes, you are in Christ, but you still have to deal with the old. That mind goes wandering off into the world, and your spiritual heart is always pulling to get us back. That's our true identity. My true identity is not based on my name or my birth certificate. My true identity is signed, sealed, and delivered to me and to the Father by Jesus Christ. And Jesus then sends his Spirit to indwell every Christian, guaranteeing our acceptance in the realm and the kingdom of God. That's my true identity. Why do I get so uncomfortable here on earth? Why don't I just feel good down here on earth? Because I'm homesick. This is not my home. I'm just passing through. If I fall so much in love with this earth, or fall so much in love with what the things that I can get on earth, then once again, I will be miserable. Things will pass away. The earth will pass away. But who you are in Christ will never pass away. That real you is going to come out. One of these days when this body collapses, the real me goes to be with my Savior. I will be leaving the building. I will be leaving this vehicle called a body. But I'll be back. And in the coming back, I will be with Jesus when he comes to get his body on earth called the church. We are the bride of Christ. It's the church. Many Christians say, I don't need the church family to be a Christian. You need the church family, my friends, to give you strength to walk in that Christian focus that God has called you to. Without the church, you will be the lone Christian out here riding on your white horse. I'll tell you about what happens when you get too cocky on that horse in a moment. John 10, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. That's what Jesus says. John 8, second part of verse 44. When he lies, it is consistent with his character. For he is a liar and the father of lies. Now, many people, many Christians, fall prey to the identity theft. And Satan sows and looks inside of our heart. And we witness Satan trying to pull the truth from us. In this generation, have you not heard the truth of God subdued? Have you not witnessed within our own churches the word of God falling behind from the pulpit? It is the word of God that gives us direction. And we truly fall prey to that identity theft by way of religious fervor. I am not a religious person. I am a Christian, saved by grace. I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Because of my personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I will be in heaven whether anybody likes it or not. Because I have a personal relationship, not a religion. Religion's frightening for me. Of course, being a prison chaplain for all those years and seeing what all different people worship, I would roll my eyes and I think, man, these people are really out of it. And then I get out in what I call the real world, getting with you all, and I say, these people really are out of it, Lord. You got to do something with us. Think of it. God trains us to remind us of his body, the church. And he says, now I'm going to offer to you eternal life, eternal peace. But now you got a job to do while you're here. You have a responsibility to fulfill for God. Did he not fulfill his responsibility to you? I was telling one of our men's classes earlier this morning, the World War II veteran's name was Roman, and I believe is T-I-E-G-Z or something, tights. Roman was a B-17 bomber pilot with an eighth grade education. A little different back in World War II. A little different back with us in Vietnam. Matter of fact, all of us just a tad different in the generations in which we grow. But what I found interesting about him in his story, and I did not know this, this was during the age of when people were in battle. And as they would come out of battle, many were breaking down. They had too much of the war still in their mind. A lot of us do, don't we? And you have that in your mind, and there were 2,000 World War II vets just a few years after they were discharged that had a lobotomy. They were lobotomized. They went into the frontal lobes, and they got a part of their brain. They cut the nerves. In reading that, I was thinking about God's word. And listening to this veteran as he's sharing or reading about his story and how much he loved supporting his nation. And Roman did not want the lobotomy. And the story tells about how two orderlies would hold him down as they drilled holes, one on either side of his skull. And he didn't want it, but they made him have it. It's what we call today post-traumatic stress syndrome, PTSD. Post-traumatic stress disorder. Thank you. That D had to stand for something else, didn't it? PTSD. And the doctors today look back on that and say, call it the Dark Ages. But listening to his story, that when he comes out of war, he was broken. He was messed up. And so to keep him from going off too far or displaying actions that was unbecoming, they took parts of his brain. Let me tell you what has happened to us in our generation. When I look at the identity thieves and see how Satan himself is attempting to steal the identity of a Christian, telling that Christian that God doesn't truly love you. You're hurting, and if God loved you, you would not hurt. Death would not come upon your family if God truly loved you. And all of these lies that Satan tries to place in the very heart of who you are. You and I have the power to withdraw, but you don't have the brain power to do it. It's the spiritual power. What I've witnessed, you too have seen. It's how the lobotomy of the scriptures, it's the lobotomizing of the Holy Word of God, part of it being drilled out, the truth of God. And as man attempts to change the Word of God, we see a generation growing up without peace, without the feeling of security. Because great men of knowledge have decided to, in order to be able to reach people and make them happy, let's do a lobotomy on the scripture. The book of God. Let's pull from it the truth, which is the spirit. Let's take away any kind of obligation for this Christian. Let us move beyond what we call being saved to calling ourselves we're different. Let us back away from the truth of the Word of God, and let us then accept the lie. And a blindfold has been pulled over the eyes of the Christians of our generation. Yesterday, one of the greatest Christians I was blessed to ever know was blessed to get to go home and be with the Lord, Dr. Verlin Crutchwith. I'd ride in a car going to Boyce and Louisville at Southern. And the great conversations that we would have. And for those of you in our congregation, you will know why we became so close. Is when Dr. Crush said to me, Larry, I'm going to buy your lunch today. And in those days, we didn't have anything much. So getting a lunch bought for us was something. We went to White Castle. And I loved him more ever since he did that. But the story goes as Crush would always teach. You grow a church one soul at a time, but never back away from the truth of God. Do not, in your own heart, commit the sin of being a part of lobotomizing the Holy Scriptures. Let's take out what we don't like. Let's put in what we do. Let's deal with feelings. Folks, I am not going to heaven because of emotions or feelings. I'm going to heaven because of who Jesus Christ is. And Jesus Christ came into my heart and I said, Lord, here am I, use me. And I was born again, saved. Yeah, but you can't say stuff like that because people think you're crazy. Well, every one of us has ever been in war, in battle especially, even those that aren't Marines. Every one of us has ever been in battles. We came back broken, didn't we? We know it. Nothing's the same for us. But do you know what remains the same? Christ. His truth about who we are as individuals. And God sees his church, the body he died for, the representative of Jesus, his son. Can you imagine the honor that has been bestowed upon us when God the Father says, look, I want you flawing human beings to represent my son, but you can't do it individually. You have to link together to form that chain, because we are too weak individually to truly present the picture of Jesus. We've got to be hooked together. And we have no right to back away from the Word of God. For those who have misunderstood my statements, which there are many, let me try to clarify. Homosexuality is sin in the Word of God. Marriage is between a man and a woman. I do not hate anyone, but I will not change the Word of God to make anyone feel better, because it is our eternal security, where we're going to spend eternity, not through the actions here on earth, but through the heart of God who gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever calls on him will not perish but have everlasting life. That is the Word of God. You and I have no rights to take the Word of God and pretend like we're the great physician and we're going to do a lobotomy and we'll take out parts here and put in parts there. That's been tried throughout centuries. It doesn't work. Being religious sometimes is the greatest sin you and I can ever commit. Look at Proverbs 14, verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Now, I want to read something that I wrote to you, so I won't get it like I wrote it. The search for our true identity in God's irrevocable plan is too often obscured by our personal search for God's plan through the religious process of doing things. Religion teaches us to do things. Christ teaches us to be somebody. The things for my salvation have already been done. I cannot redo what God has done. I cannot improve on the body of Christ. God calls whosoever will, and that's the body of believers. You and I have an obligation to each other. Remember the man Saul? Saul was a super religious individual. He allowed Satan to mess with his identity. Saul, but let's get it right with Saul. Saul was super religious, but he was sincere with his heart to serve God. He really was. When Saul was sending out all of these different groups to go stop the Christians any way he could, he was doing it out of being zealous for God, because he just knew that he had no right to stand and to even go anywhere without going against the Christians, because that was not of God. So he had it in his heart. But one day, Paul, riding along, going to Damascus to destroy more Christian groups. That was the time period when Saul got knocked off his high horse. Literally. He goes to the ground and he gets the same invitation you and I still receive. He meets Jesus Christ face to face. And Jesus asks him a question. Saul, why are you persecuting me? Now I want you to catch this, folks. To persecute the church of God is to persecute God. That's why you and I need to be in prayer for them, because they're in big time trouble. Because we do not belong to ourselves, we belong to God. Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul really does say something that is important for us to understand. He says, who are you, Lord? He knew he wasn't getting knocked off by just anybody. And Jesus says, I am Christ, the very one that you are persecuting. He had a conversion experience beyond question. Face to face with God. Jesus said the time was coming. Listen to John 16, 2 through 3. This is Jesus speaking. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, now listen to this for our generation, folks. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. Let's get rid of Christianity. It's a cry. And then America will be great again. America is great now, and America is great because of who Christ is. You can never destroy Christ from his creation. It is Jesus that created this earth. It is Jesus who gave the United States of America the greatest nation ever known, the power to exist. And yet this great nation, time and time again, has turned her back on who God is. Even to the point of churches, leaders. Well, now let's get portions of this scripture we just don't want to preach because it might offend someone. Well, every time I read any verse within the scripture, my old nature is offended. And the only way that I can make my old nature happy is to change the meaning of what I read. Perform a lobotomy on God's word. Not right, not wise, because you need to read a little further and find out what happens to people who do that. I think there was a great union soon after that, because as prior to this time, the Saul had looked at a man and he wondered about him. That man was Stephen. Stephen was an individual that was called by God to his service. And Stephen was warned, do not preach this Christ, or you will be stoned to death. He continued to preach, and Saul continued to persecute. As Saul held the coats for the group he had with him, he gave them the command, stone him to death. It was this Saul that got knocked off his high horse, as I was telling you, that now is realizing Stephen was the first Christian martyr. You see, Stephen, you have a choice. Denounce Christ and live. And Stephen looks to the heaven. Only time in scripture you'll see it. Don't forget that. And as he looks to heaven, he says, I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God the Father. Stephen was standing up for Jesus. All of the scriptures said that Christ was always seated at the right hand of God the Father. No other scripture ever says that he ever stood except for this one. Stephen stands up for Jesus. Jesus stands up for Stephen. Men start throwing rocks at him. And what's he doing? Praising God. I see the Son of God. Now that was reality for Stephen. Do you think that that didn't make an impact on the heart of Saul, who ends up becoming Paul? The religious leader Saul became the apostle Paul. And in doing so, he made his confession. Listen to his confessions to the Galatians in 2:19, first part. What actually took place is this. This is Paul speaking. I tried keeping rules and working my head off to please God, and it didn't work. That's in the message. It didn't work, he said. Philippians 3:6, Paul again. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. He was so zealous to serve God, he didn't listen to God. He listened to what he had stored in that brilliant mind of his. There was none any more brilliant. Only Solomon was mentioned as being that wise of the Old Testament. Of the New Testament, Saul stood up and said, I'm a Pharisee of Pharisees. When he becomes Paul, he says, I'm smarter than any of you. And he was. But the intellect doesn't work without the touch of the master's hand. Saul, you've lived long enough for religion. I want you to live for me now. It's a relationship. I got a blood transfusion at about 8 years old. That's when I walked forward in a church and accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life. In that transfusion, I realized now that me belonging to Christ and being here for a purpose is what got me through battles in the Dominican Republic, battles in Vietnam, but the greatest battles that every one of us are fighting now. The battle of life. because of Christ who lives in us. The war that I am involved with today is taking more casualties than any war we have ever fought in. That war is a war for the truth of God. Thus saith the Lord thy God. When God speaks, we better listen. Because I guarantee you, when he comes, you will see him. Yes, he is real. And every word that he has stated is solid. A foundation that you and I can stand on, knowing that the word of God is the firmness that we need. He went from power man to God's man. Look at Galatians 2, second part of 19, first part of verse 20. And he says this: "So I quit being a law man so that I could be God's man. Christ's life showed me how and enabled me to do it. I identified myself completely with him. Indeed, I have been crucified with Christ." Knocked off his high horse, and two-thirds of the New Testament this man penned. A murderer, a blasphemer. And God reached right down, knocked him off the horse, picked him up, and said, "You're going to be blind for 3 days too." What symbolism we have in reading that story. Because when God's man was sent to him, the scripture says, as though the scales were over his eyes, they fell off. And Paul could see. Saul was blind. He got the message. Paul, the apostle, could see. He held on to that message. And throughout scripture, this great man quit being the law man and became God's man. The key to all of it in your life and mine is real love. The true identity focuses on real love. Let me read the scripture quickly. Galatians 2, 20, second part and 21. "My ego," this is Paul again. Boy, he's coming clean, isn't he? Don't we wish we could really say, "Lord, in his presence, Lord, I am a mess." Well, try that today. He already knows it, but it's good that you say it to him. "My ego is no longer central. It is no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion." Here, that part of who Paul is, he was still that stern. He knew God's word. "And I am no longer driven to impress God. Christ lives in me. The life you see me living is not mine, but it is lived by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I am not going to go back on that." Listen, folks, there is no such thing as true love without sacrifice. No such thing as real love, true love, without sacrifice. Listen to John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." He gave me and you the liberating freedom. I'm free. Free from what? Free from the restraints of religion. Free from the power of the world. Free to serve God as he's called me to serve him, because I know where I'm going. I know in whom I believe. And it is he who will give me the strength day after day. 2 Corinthians 3:16, 17. "But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Hebrews 13:6. "So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" That's our story of our identity. That's the story of everyday living, isn't it? The battles that you and I fight on a daily basis is a battle that's already been won for us. When we said, Lord, here it is, He's already taken care of it. Our problem, pride. Really? You people are so old-fashioned. Actually, I preach the gospel through the Old Testament or New Testament. That's at least around 4,000 to 6,000 years old. So I guess that's old-fashioned. But I read the stories in this old-fashioned book called the Bible. In those stories that I read, I saw the truth. I experienced that truth. The story came alive from Old Testament to New. He didn't do away with the old, but He did complete the law that was in it. And we can learn from every word of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for life and for love and for Your protection. We ask now, Heavenly Father, that You forgive our nation's leaders. Father, we pray that as You will touch their heart, that their heart will become softened to Your word. Father, we are Your children. We are Your body. We pray in the name of Jesus that You give us courage and holy boldness. As we wait for Your return, let each of us be about Your work. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.